Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show. Ray, it's been a very, very moist week. One week of that atmosphere is still very juicy. So we could be getting some more rain here before it's all over. Approximately 3 inches at our place up in the foothills since last Monday. So we're off to a really good start for monsoon 2017, the summer thunderstorm season. The Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. It's Monday, the 17th of July, 2017. We're also, along with, of course, over-the-air radio on AM 1030, we've got our worldwide live listening. More and more people now stream the show. They stream it at kvoi.com and my website, buckmastershow.com. So if you're around a computer anywhere in the world, real easy to hear the program, and the quality's good, and everything you need is right there. 790-2040 is our live line number if you'd like to join in. And of course, Monday is face-off day. That's the way we kick off our program here, kick off the week. Our team of commentators this week, John Munger is here. John, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bill?
Good.
It's
John,
good to see you.
Good to see you. John, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. John, in 2010, ran as a Republican candidate for governor. Vince Robigo is here. Hi, Vince.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. Longtime Democratic Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, also in the year 2010. Vince heads up the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. All of this is brought to you by, and we thank them very much, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned. What a great operation that they have run since 1985. Moe specializing custom frame mirrors. Yep, I've done that. We've got some of his mirrors. We've got some of his art. Picture framing and hanging services, he's done that for us. And, of course, the framing services, that's really, I think, where he is well-known and excels. But he does well in all of those other areas. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince, you were mentioning before we went on the air, you had a nice weekend up near Flagstaff. Boy, I bet everything has greened up beautifully.
It is quite beautiful, yeah. I spent a good number of days up there with a big family camping trip, so I had probably about 30 family members out there in a big giant
burgers and steaks on the grill.
You name it, and we had it. These people, you know, I'm used to the, you know, sleep on the ground in a tent type of camping. But the rest of my family, they were cooking all sorts of good stuff out there. But so very, very nice. A lot of rain, beautiful weather up there, and certainly catching the rain back down here. It was such a sad thing, though, to hear about the tragedy of those families.
Near Payson. One of those real narrow canyons. You have to be so careful, even not during the monsoon season.
Any time in Arizona, you don't know. So there could be a rainstorm 10 miles away, and the skies could be clear near you. So really no need to ever put your life at risk swimming in a creek or you know, even walking in what is a dry arroyo, a dry you know, riverbed. You have to be really cautious pretty much any time, not just but certainly during monsoon season.
And it's not just up there,
elevated.
John. We have that in our areas right around here, southern Arizona, these real narrow slot canyons. So you got to be
absolutely got to be careful.
Very tragic. My heart and prayers go out to those families and of those who were lost.
Did you have a good weekend, John?
I had a fabulous weekend. Thank you.
You don't ride horses anymore, do you?
I do not ride anymore. No. I've ridden for 35, 40 years, and my last horse went down, and I found him a nice home, a lady who keeps him as a pet.
Okay.
And
so you hung up the spurs.
I hung up the spurs.
All right, Vince and John, I want to begin with this whole healthcare debate. Vince, a lot of people really frustrated that it's been going on. And according to the Arizona Daily Star piece yesterday, there's a growing number of people, at least in this town, that say, hey, let's just go to a single payer concept, which many people believe is more understandable and more palatable. What do you think?
Well, I think that if this debate keeps going on, that those sorts of options, be it a single payer or variants, like a public option, that everybody can understand that. So you hear folks talking about those ideas, because the reality is the public, you know, if you step back from the details of what this what this does, this particular new Senate bill, for example, or this House bill that was pushed, you know, it was all, this is all political, based on you know, the years, you know, 7 years of the GOP trying to quote unquote, you know, repeal the Obamacare, you know, the Affordable Care Act. And so I think the public sees that it's political at this point. You know, when you have the president of the United States go to a country like Australia and which has a single payer system and tells them, wow, I hear you have really great health care in your country and we're going to fix our health care system. And people see that this is more about politics than about fixing the system. When they hear, you know, Senator Mitch McConnell admit about a week and a half ago saying that, that the Republicans don't need to have this health care repeal to stabilize the health care marketplace, that they can work with Democrats. The public sees that and they're frustrated with it. And that's why you see the polls of people that are against these proposals. They don't want health care taken away. They just want the system fixed. And these proposals are not fixing the system. They're about politics and trying to jam something through just so they can say we got rid of this, or we, or at least a facade that they got rid of something.
John, what do you think?
Well, I think the Obamacare program that the Democrats left us with is completely bankrupt. It doesn't work. Premiums have gone up drastically. Deductibles are out of sight to the point where people can't use their health care. And the Obamacare system has resulted in 40% of the counties in the country only have one health care provider, which means there's no competition on pricing. The Obamacare system is completely broken. Now, the intent, in my belief, the intent of the Democratic Party has always been to have a single-payer system, which will bankrupt this country. California talked about a single-payer system, and I have no problem if California wants to go to a single-payer system. I think there's something to be said for having health care done at the individual state levels. That's our federal system. But California's backed off of that because it's too expensive. And when California says it's too expensive, that's saying something. It was going to cost about California alone $400 billion. And their heavily Democratic legislature said, we can't afford that. So single payer doesn't work. What the Senate is working on is a system that will get us back on a competitive system, still provide free health care for those who need it. The Democratic line that free health care, Medicaid, will be taken away from people is just untrue. There are no cuts in Medicaid, none, period. There are cuts in the, after 8 years from now, there are cuts in the growth of Medicaid, but not in the any payments of Medicaid at all.
I think
that we've got to get through this process. Yes, it's a political process. Surprise, surprise, it's in Washington, D.C. You'll remember that the Democrats passed Obamacare with no Republican votes. The Republicans know that the Democrats are not going to vote for a free enterprise oriented system, even with all the freebies that they've put in the bill. The Democrats aren't going to vote for it, and the Republicans don't want to go backwards. They want to move forward. Now, I'm as frustrated as anybody that the Republicans can't get their act together so far, but that's the nature of the system. It give them time. Remember, it took 18 months for Obamacare, 15 months. For Obamacare to get through the Democratic House and Senate. So we're only into it for about 6 months.
Vince, my Facebook friends want to know, why is it okay to have a single payer that we already have for veterans and for older people over 65. Why is that okay and not for the rest of the people?
Well, that's the point. The point is that like everything John said is not correct. Single-payer systems can and do work. We've got
just hold your thought.
We have, for example, a Medicare system that works. We have a VA system that works. Now, can any system be fixed? Can anything be better? Yeah, absolutely. Does the Affordable Care Act, which is what we're talking about, does that need fixes? Absolutely. There's no doubt that that there are things that need to be fixed. But the reality is those systems do work. I have to take issue with John. The Democrats had that all their intent was always to do a single payer system. It was when Democrats were in charge that they passed this system, the Affordable Care Act, which is in fact based on a marketplace system that was created by, I believe, the Cato and the Institute and the Heritage Foundation, the creators of those ideas, like the mandate and all these other things. You can go back and research that. Those were actually conservative marketplace ideas trying to fix this out of control insurance and healthcare market because of its drain on the GDP. Now, the problem is that it was a Democrat proposing it. It was President Obama. So they tried to label it as that, and anything he presented, they were against. So this is just amazing
and
to hear
and
these,
that is what
these
the
positions.
That is what the Democrats are doing with the Senate bill.
John, you will be up to the plate to answer Vince right after we take our break. It's 12:16, the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Face-Off. John Munger is here, seated to my right, and Vince Ravago to my left. Let's take the break. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back with the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Vince Robigo is here, and John Munger. And John, I promised you before the break you could respond to Vince's comment.
I get a kick out of the Democrats saying, oh, we have a Medicare system that's so wonderful. Yeah, the Medicare system is going bankrupt, and around 40% of the physicians in the country refuse to take Medicare. They use VA as an example of fine government health care. VA is one of the worst disasters we all know. You can't get in to get served for months under the VA system. Look, those systems don't work. That's why California even has backed off of a single-payer system. Those systems go bankrupt. They will drive this country into the dirt. People say, well, other countries have these systems. Those other countries are going broke. They're all running deficits. We cannot do this forever. We need to get back to a system where we take care with a safety net of the people who need help, and then we get this system back on a competitive system where you have insurance, you can buy insurance across state lines. You don't have to have the all of the health care that is required of you to have in the ACA. For example, young people, they don't need all of this health care. All the ACA does, they want minimal programs to cover them in the event of an emergency. The ACA forces them to have health care that they don't want. Why? Because the ACA is based upon young people paying premiums on policies that will transfer money to the old people who use those policies. It's a transfer of wealth. It doesn't work.
You're saying it's a Ponzi scheme.
It's all a Ponzi scheme, and okay, it will bankrupt this country. And the problem with Obamacare is the Democrats keep saying, and Bill, you're following me on Facebook, I write about every week,
I know,
somebody give me the proposal to fix Obamacare. Obamacare is irreparable. It is a completely broken system.
Okay,
you can't fix something that is structurally invalid and structurally broken. It doesn't work structurally.
What do you think, Vince?
Well, first of all, the reality is that things can be fixed. Now, if you have Medicare, Medicaid, and let me dispute the earlier comments before the break, there are going to be cuts. Now, John may want to talk to some of the United States senators, like Senator Susan Collins from Maine, who talked about these very deep cuts to Medicaid that are going to happen. You can phrase it structurally however you want, but there's going to be 22 million people to 24 million people cut. So, for example, what's the difference between the House bill, which was going to cut, I think, 24? Maybe now we're down to 23 million that are going to be cut over the next decade.
What happens to those people?
That's it. Well, they're not going to have health care. And so what's going to happen, here's to address John's question, what happens is when people then don't insure and they don't have access to health care that is a system that works, they use the emergency room as their primary care facility.
Vince,
and what that does, that drives up. So if you
those
look at our examples, like an Arizona healthcare cost containment system, we went through this. And so what happened? You had a bipartisan group of Democrats and Republicans who signed up with Governor Brewer, who expanded the state's coverage to be able to draw from those federal dollars to have more people to have access.
Yeah.
Now, there's a great example of what works. Arizona is a shining example when it comes to its healthcare cost containment system.
Let me respond to that. Because,
and there's a great example right there, instead of this piece of Frankenstein legislation that they're trying to ram down the American people's throats.
Let me
John,
tell you.
Make your comment, and then I want to go to a caller.
The comment is that the so-called 24 million that won't be covered, 7 million of those are people that don't even want free Medicaid. They just want to be left alone. Another 15 million or so are people who don't want to buy insurance for whatever reason, and they don't want to be forced to buy insurance. Now, the fact of the matter is the CBO estimates do not account for how many more people will buy insurance if it costs less. They don't count. They don't calculate that. So part of the concept is you reduce the cost of Medicare premiums, reduce the deductibles, and more people will want to be covered. Meanwhile, we were covering everybody. Everybody. There will not be one single person who doesn't get Medicaid if they qualify for Medicaid under the ACA.
Okay.
Every single one of them will get coverage. So-called cuts are cuts to future growth, and only after 8 years. But there's always growth. Single person will be covered.
Let's go to the live line, Dan, and then Rita, you'll be next. I want to work both of you in the remaining 4 minutes. So go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I was in Pennsylvania interviewing for management positions for my companies, and I was interviewing primarily college dropouts. And you might be interested in this. The three that I hired were all three the brightest people. They were they happened to be pre-med candidates, and they were all dropping out. Decided not to go to med school because of the socialistic aspect. And you might consider that who are going to be our quality doctors in the next 50 years.
That is correct.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Rita, you are next. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
What was on your mind today?
Okay. My son had ACTS, and it's no good. He could not get in to see a doctor, and a lot of doctors don't take it. And absolutely did him no good.
Okay.
That's my comment.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, the ACA system just does not work. And when you challenge the Democrats to say, what's your fix? They will never tell you what the fix is.
Well, let me give you some fixes.
Vince,
so,
what,
so
is the,
for
what
example,
are the fixes?
One of the things we need to fix, there's the cost structure in terms of both pharmaceutical costs. We have to address that, and we have to be able to regulate.
So you want price fixes.
Look, there's all kinds. Well, you're asking for fixes. Yeah. Let me give you some.
You want a price fix?
The other thing
drugs,
is that Medicare, for example, should be able to get rebates. Medicare should be able to negotiate also on costs. Now, there are things structurally that can be done. So then you ask, well, why is the system not working? What's the problem here? Now, there are issues that happened, for example, when the Republicans shut down the government, the Democrats agreed to get rid of what are called risk corridors as a trade-off. Now, that was part of the stabilization of the marketplace. So when you see these prices going up, have they gone up? Absolutely. I agree that we need to fix the cost of the premiums.
Pharmaceutical prices.
But there were
too.
Things that happened politically that the Republicans caused and the Democrats agreed so that we could keep the government functioning that they don't want to talk about. Now, other aspects, for example, the mandate aspect when the Supreme Court came down and talked about the healthcare marketplaces. So there are aspects that the Democrats have no control over.
You're saying it is fixable.
Absolutely, it's fixable. There's all kinds of things that could be done. But what they want to do is they want to play politics to be able to say that they took away health care. Can any system be fixed? Can there be system things in access that can be fixed? Absolutely. But what this is going to do is going to create a two-track system where there are going to be people that were going to be able to be denied for pre-existing coverage. There are going to be people that if they get knocked off, you know where they're going to be paying that mandate?
Incorrect.
It's not going to go to the government.
Where?
They have to pay premiums, like up to 30% to their health care insurer if they have to, if they get
there
to re-enroll later.
There are risk pools for
that's
that.
Why, you know who I trust in this debate? And I'll end with this, and he can say whatever he likes. I trust the experts. You look at every medical organization, patient care. No, I'm talking about doctors. I'm talking about the American Medical Association, the American Cancer Society Action Network, clinical oncology groups, patient care groups. Look at everybody as against
this.
Right.
The doctors.
And that's who I trust, the experts, including the doctors.
The doctors.
60% do use Medicaid.
The doctors are the first to say that ACA doesn't work and it cannot work. It is structurally invalid. Price fixing on drugs is not going to help things because you're going to have fewer drugs. You're going to have fewer doctors, as the gentleman said, because doctors aren't paid enough under the system to make it worth their while to go through that educational process, as the gentleman said. You need to have a free enterprise-based system and still cover those who cannot cover themselves.
All right. Thank you, John Munger. Thank you, sir, for coming in. Vince Robigo, thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right, the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe loves a good debate, and we had one today on healthcare. Moe'sGallery.com. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, Monsoon 2017 update with UA climate scientist Dr. Zach Guido, plus trying to get the kids to learn to write the old-fashioned way. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson's Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening, podcasts, and archive on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show Monday edition presented by our good friends over at Green Things. Jan and Jack are the owners over there. They've got big smiles on their faces this afternoon. I don't blame them. The rains have come. They've got 13 acres. And the plants, of course, love the monsoon season along with all of us. But anyway, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. What a beautiful location they have. And they're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Everything you need. I'll be paying a visit very soon. I need a couple of rose bushes, plants, and that's where I get my roses and a lot of other plants. GreenThingsAZ.com. Let's welcome now a good friend of our program. Jason Jacobs is the fine administrator for the Reed Park Zoo, the Gene C. Reed Park Zoo. Do you know who Mr. Reed was?
Yes, Gene C.
Good to see you, by the way.
It's always a pleasure to be here on the air with you, Bill.
Welcome back from Australia. But who was Mr. Reed?
Gene Reed was the director of Parks and Recreation.
Oh.
And he started the zoo back officially in 1965. He had some prairie dogs and chickens, and he cordoned a section off of the park for it. And it has grown since that time from its humble beginnings, thanks to his foresight, to a nationally accredited zoological park that has conservation programs that we support throughout the world and over 500,000 visitors a year.
So it started as a small, kind of a small city venture.
Yeah, and we're still a city-owned and operated facility. Right. And it was started as a very small, kind of like a kid zoo.
Uh-huh.
But within 3 to 4 years, they had animals like monkeys, elephants, and other things. So, you know, it's really grown. And a lot of that is thanks to the support of the city of Tucson and the people who come visit us, our members and our nonprofit support organization, the Reed Park Zoological Society.
How are they doing, the society?
They're doing great. You know, they just finished a campaign back in December to build a brand new veterinary hospital for the zoo in partnership with the University of Arizona.
Is that up and running?
It will be up and running in January. It's under construction right
facility?
Now. State-of-the-art. It's a 7,000 square foot addition to our existing 3,000 square foot hospital. And it'll be able to house University of Arizona student interns, as well as our veterinarians, our staff, animals that might need special assistance, such as geriatric animals or young animals or sick animals. And we're really looking forward to having a state-of-the-art veterinary hospital at the zoo, because part of our mission is whole life care from cradle to grave. You know, every living being on Earth, its mortality rate is 100% at some point.
Yeah, once the conception happens, there's the end date, right?
Yeah, well, exactly, exactly. But, you know, our job at the zoo is we take care of animals. We have animals that are off display that require special care.
Are these senior animals?
Senior animals, mostly.
Yeah. But they're not put down just because they're old.
No, we keep them. We have a white rhinoceros that's in her mid-40s. She's on arthritis medication, and she's an old girl, but she is well loved by everybody at the zoo. She likes to get scratches from her keepers. And Bill, if you come to the zoo, I'll take you to give her a scratch.
Could I scratch?
Yes, she'd love to. Her name is Ibonga, and she would love to meet you on a behind-the-scenes tour and get scratched.
What about age of an animal like that? You know, they say that, what is it, dog years, or the translation of that. Is that pretty much the case with every animal?
Well,
can we kind of translate?
So here's what you got to remember about animals.
So, dogs, I mean, if a rhino's 40 years old, what's that? That's like,
That's a geriatric animal, because a rhino would never, ever live to be 40 years old in the wild. Yeah. I would highly doubt it, based on the fact that you don't see signs of arthritis in older rhinos in the wild, because as soon as they develop, they would be picked off by predators.
Right.
You know, we had a sun bear that we euthanized from some health-related issues, and she was 35 years old, blind, no teeth. She would go out on exhibit when she wanted to. We never forced her out.
Right.
And that's an example of an animal that clearly outlived their lifespan in a zoo because of the great care. We had an animal euthanized about 2 weeks ago, a white-handed gibbon, a lesser ape, 47 years old.
Wow.
And you're going to see more and more of that in zoos as the science of taking care of animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's improved vastly in the last 40 years, but it improves every day. I mean, we learn, we communicate with other zoos, and it's a science.
Jason Jacobs is here, 790-2040. If you have any animal-related questions about the zoo, Jason would be happy to talk with you. I love to talk about animals. And I want to hear about Jason's trip. This was paid for out of your own pocket, and it was a trip to learn more about what's going on in Australia
at
their animal zoo facilities. So what'd you learn? Tell me kind of the bottom line.
Well, you have to a little bit of background. I've been to over 200 zoos and aquariums, and it's helped made me the administrator I am by networking with other facilities and seeing what they do and taking a little
your business card to a lot of zoo administrators on this
so
trip.
So I saw about 13 different zoological institutions within Sydney, Dubbo, Melbourne, and Adelaide, and talk to them about potential future collaborations with Reed Park Zoo. You know, Australia is pretty strict on the exportation as well as the importation of wildlife.
Mm-hmm. Koalas and all that.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, we have every exhibit we open in a big section of the zoo, like our South America area, we have giant anteaters, and we support giant anteater conservation in South America, Africa. With the elephants, we support conservation. And there is an interest to bring some Australian animals to the zoo. It could take years from now, but it was great meeting with the staff of these Australian zoos to talk about some collaborative efforts that we could do in the future, not only obtaining Australian animals, but perhaps sending some animals to Australia from Reed Park. But it would take a couple years from now, but it was really interesting to meet them and see species personally that I've only seen in books and photographs before, like the platypus.
Yeah, it was fun. I remember visiting when we were down there seeing the platypus.
And this cute little marsupial called a quokka, and, giant cuttlefish and dugongs and satin bowerbirds and lyrebirds, glossy black cockatoos. I'm a zoo geek.
They have a dingo, the wild dog.
They do, and they feel they more than likely the dingo was an introduced species to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have had what was the dominant predator for a long time was an animal called the thylacine or the Tasmanian tiger, and they have been what they feel is extinct for a long time.
However, there are reports someone had seen one within the past year on the island of Tasmania. I don't know. It's kind of maybe like a Bigfoot sighting. Maybe it was some other kind of animal, but it is being investigated.
Right. And, you know, there's a cautionary tale because that species at one time was kept in zoos. This was over 100 years ago.
A lot of the Victorian zoos.
Yes.
It's kind of centerpiece for the.
And today there's species that are kept in zoos that would be extinct if it were not for zoos.
Namely?
Oh, the golden lion tamarin, which is a small monkey that lives in the coastal rainforest of Brazil. Here in the United States, the California condor, the black-footed ferret. Even our American bison would most likely have gone extinct had it not been for zoos working to conserve this species 100 years ago.
One of my fond memories of our trip, we've been to Australia twice, but I remember in Sydney seeing the baby orphaned kangaroos and the way they were cared for. They would take like pillowcases for the babies, right? And they'd, you know, put the babies in there kind of simulating mama's pouch. So it'd be cool to get some Australian animals up here, but do they kind of regulate that, you said, very carefully?
It depends on the species, and there's ways to do it.
Kangaroos,
Well, kangaroos you can get in the United States, but, you know, it would take a lot of planning, and there's definitely ways to go about it. There's processes and permits, and when the time comes that we have the resources to do an Australia exhibit, you know, you'll be one of the first to know.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Why don't we take the break here, because I have so much more to talk with Jason Jacobs about and the Reed Park Zoo, 790-2040. It's the Buckmaster Show talking about one of my favorite topics, animals.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. Jason Jacobs with us from the Reed Park Zoo. He is the administrator. And before we continue our discussion with Jason, I want to tell everybody about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This is the perfect time to get away over there. It's so beautiful right now with the monsoon rain. The summer thunderstorms have come. Silver City is a great weekend getaway. Or why not go during the week if you can do that? You know, 3-hour drive over there. There's so much to do. A very historic area. And the hiking in the Gila Wilderness, really beautiful. A lot of wildlife, too, in the Gila area. So good weekend or any time of the midweek getaway. 3 hours, southwestnewmexico.org is their website. There's the full listing of places to stay and the things to do over there. Jason, as far as what's going on at the zoo right now, the frog exhibit, tell us about that. I have in front of me The Zoo and You, which is a fine publication that comes out. I get this member magazine because my wife and I are members of the zoo. We're supporting members. And on the cover is this really cute little yellow frog with big black eyes.
Well, and that's much larger than the actual size.
Yeah, and yellow kind of black outlined lips.
Well, we opened an exhibit a few weeks ago for four different species of poison dart frogs. And these are the first amphibians on display at the zoo in over 15 years, and they live in a microclimate of a rainforest at the zoo. They're in a climate-controlled terrarium that has substrate filled with isopods and springtails, which break down any of the nutrients in the tank to provide nourishment for the whole habitat. And it's really great. It was named after Fran Armstrong, who was a docent at our zoo.
She passed away?
She passed away in December, and she was a lovely lady. She was a docent for 39 years old.
So this 39 years.
Yes, yeah. She left a legacy gift. I apologize. I said 39 years old. She had been a docent at the zoo for 39 years. And her husband is also a docent. And we opened the habitat, and I tell you, it's a fitting tribute because she loved to teach and interact with children. And frogs, children relate sometimes to small things, right?
Yes.
And small things can have big impacts. And biologists, wildlife ecologists, they look at amphibian populations to determine the health of an ecosystem because frogs rely on water for reproduction. And so they're a key indicator species. And our staff has done an amazing job in preparing this habitat with the help of some local vendors and creating those key message points. When you see the exhibit, you'll learn all about why frogs are important. And the exhibit is about the size of your desk here.
Wow.
But it has a big impact, and so we're so proud of it.
So it's a small exhibit.
Small exhibit, but big impact. You don't have to have huge exhibits all the time.
What do they eat?
So in the wild, these poison dart frogs eat bugs that eat poisonous plants, which give the poison dart frogs their poison.
Oh.
In the zoo, they don't develop the poison because they eat wingless fruit flies so that we put in there for them. And when it's feeding time, it's really great. First thing in the morning, they are out there active, jumping around when the keepers put the fruit flies in there.
Where do you get the fruit flies?
There's special breeders that provide them to us.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a whole another area I hadn't even thought about. Your whole food sourcing for your animals.
That it is. You know, we have over 400 animals. And
there are vendors, I guess, for this stuff.
Well, we buy, for instance, frozen rats and mice
for
some of our animals. Yeah, mice on ice, frozen? You can call it. And then you thaw them out and the animals eat them.
And these are delivered to the zoo?
Yes. We get boxes of crickets and worms and also produce. The produce we get is from the same companies. It's fresh that provides restaurants in town.
FedEx must know where you guys are.
Oh, they definitely do, yeah.
With your rather unusual shipments. Jason will be delighted to hear from you, 790-2040, if you'd like to give us a call. Don't you have a big event coming up? Isn't that in October?
ZooSon, yeah. That's a big fundraising event that the Reed Park Zoological Society puts on every year to benefit the zoo. And they are such committed people. They do a great job of supporting the zoo. They're a nonprofit board. And they believe in the mission of what we do and that it's important to build a great zoo for this community.
I was looking at this article that Kevin Willis, I don't know if you know Kevin, he's the Minnesota Zoo's Vice President for Biological Programs. He did an interview with the local paper in Minneapolis, and the question was, Jason, are zoos still relevant? Zoos, as I recall, started as kind of a Victorian concept. Wasn't the London Zoo sort of one of the and then Hamburg, Germany, some of those were some of your signature old zoos?
Well, they were old, but the London Zoo was the first zoo ever founded with a mission of scientific purpose. And I would say zoos are going to be, good zoos are very relevant in the future. We need them. We need them to educate. Zoos that are accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums in the United States receive 185 million visitors per year. and donate millions and millions of dollars collaboratively every year to conservation projects in the wild. That's why we're here. We show people animals, they learn about them, and in effect, they will care and support conservation of species in the wild.
Yeah, and you know, when you we do have a call. Let's go to the call.
Sure.
Marcia would like to talk with us about the zoo situation. Marcia, what's on your mind?
Well, we visited Tasmania not too many years ago, and we saw a Tasmanian devil, and they told us then that they were having a bad cancer mouth problem and so on. And I wondered, and they were taking them to the mainland and trying to reestablish them. What's happening with that?
Well, you know, I'm definitely not an expert on Tasmanian devils, but you are right that there's a facial tumor disease that is wiping them out, and it's horrible. If you look at the photos of what these poor devils go through, I can tell you that the Australian zoos that I went to are very, very committed to saving the Tasmanian devil from extinction. I saw several off-exhibit conservation breeding programs for Tasmanian devils. They are amazing animals. They are also, the Australian zoos are creating insurance populations of these species by working with U.S. zoos. In the last 3 years, the last Tasmanian devil in a U.S. zoo passed in 2004. Since 2013, several zoos in the United States are working with Australian zoos to bring Tasmanian devils into the country as an insurance population. You could see them at the zoos in Albuquerque, San Diego, and Los Angeles, for instance. But they are working very hard to save the species from extinction. They are committed to the conservation. They don't want to lose the Tasmanian devil.
What are some of the animals really critical right now in zoos that are endangered?
Well, it runs the gambit.
That would be gone probably without a zoo environment.
Well, here's a good example. Everybody knows what a tiger is. And right. I tell people there's several types of tigers. And I believe within the next 25 to 30 years, the only place you're going to be able to see tigers are in India. Mm-hmm. In the Bengal tiger. Mm-hmm. The rest of the tigers, you have animals like the Sumatran tiger that have maybe 300 animals left in the wild. You know, I don't know if they're going to make it. And that's part of the real challenge is that zoos, we can breed animals. We're very good at breeding tigers in zoos. Mm-hmm. We've never bred tigers at Reed Park Zoo, but a lot of zoos have. But the challenge is there's no place to send these animals back into the wild.
No,
the wild is not this ideal place. When I say the wild, most wild means animals under managed habitat, mm-hmm. where they're in a national park or a reserve, and they know the numbers of animals. There's a limited carrying capacity, and it's a great thing for those animals. But at the same time, some animals are still poached, like rhinos, like gorillas, unfortunately. And those are the big charismatic animals. There's tiny little species or species that people might not know about, like our listener mm-hmm. just mentioned, mm-hmm. the Tasmanian devil. Most people don't even know that there's such an animal. They think it's the Warner Brothers cartoon, Taz. So there's a lot of animals that need help out there.
I have some dear friends that just returned from a trip to East Africa, and they fulfilled a dream by going to the Maasai Mara, probably the most famous of the game parks there on the Tanzania and Kenya border. And the animals were still, they said, were doing very well within the park.
Right.
Because the Maasai have really taken a real nice investment, not only for their livelihoods, they want to see the animals thrive.
That's right.
And that's so important, that key.
That's conservation. You give economic value to the animals,
yes.
meaning ecotourism,
right.
or hiring the Maasai to protect those lands,
right. exactly.
to protect against poachers, to guide tourists. That's conservation. That's how it works.
And the Maasai were actually taking care of the people at the tented camp. So it's not just like going out and doing the wildlife safari, but in the camp itself, they were like up all night making sure everything was secure, and they know the area, obviously,
right.
and they're really invested in this deal. That sounded really good to me.
That's a great program, and there's other examples of that throughout the world. So that's conservation, and you know, you could look to right here in Tucson. There's like the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. They do a great job conserving local species.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be different. We have a great local display of Native Wildlife at the Desert Museum, so we focus on exotic wildlife from throughout the world. But the real winners are the guests of both facilities, because they have two world-class institutions to visit and see wildlife from around the world and wildlife right here in their own backyard.
We're out of time, Jason. What is your footprint? How many acres? What are your hours?
24 acres this time of year till the end of September. We're open from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., so get out there early to the zoo. And you can beat the heat and see the animals early in the morning.
And we had that horrible heat wave, and you did change your hours a little bit.
We did.
How did the animals fare? Okay.
They appreciated it, and I have to give kudos to the city of Tucson for having the foresight to allow us to do that, to make the best decision for our animals.
All right. Jason Jacobs, one of the fine young administrators of zoos. This guy really knows. He's got it together. He loves animals, and he's been to 200 different zoos around the world. What have you not been to that's on the list? And I'm out of time.
Singapore. Okay. That's going to be the next one.
All right. Jason, great to see you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Mic check with Mike Shaw this afternoon. Ray Allen will ably assist Mike. The two of them put together a great show. And I understand today how to get a great massage. They'll tell you about that. I think I heard that on Mike's promo. Ray, I think that's on the show. I hope so, anyway. You'll be getting some strange calls. I don't know. 6 to 9 is Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, then the Buckmaster Show, 1204. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.